You're listening to the MJ Murdoch Charitable Trust's Spring 2019 Women in Leadership Conference, the theme of which is Embodied Presence. In Session 2, speakers Dr. Mary Kate Morse and Dr. Jackie Bland discuss presence and inner discernment, listening to the voice of the Spirit.
Lord, it is a joy and a privilege to receive your Spirit upon us. It is a great joy and a great privilege to sit at your feet. Amen. So, I would like you to get out your Session 3, Christ in Me Gravitas. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. This is on page 6 in your handout. And let us read the word of the Lord together. Are we all there? Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." I love this little story where we first get to meet Martha and Mary. And it's really quite an extraordinary little story. I know how we usually hear it. And about, you know, our busyness, a little put down, and yet they like us in the kitchen. So it's got a little sting in it when we hear this. So I'd like to come at the story a little bit differently. I'd like to lift Mary up and talk about a little bit about how she gets trapped in her role, how she gets trapped, how we get trapped in our roles. And if you remember yesterday, we talked about God's imagination for us, creating us for significance, that we're going to matter, and that we're going to be in community, that we have place at the table, that God intended that for every single human being. But how in the fall there was that fracture then that put the desire for the one thing to be like God and not to be at the feet of God, but that one thing to be like God. Knowing good from evil, being able to say what is and what is not, what is true, what is not, what is fake, what is real, who you are, what you matter, where you will be, how you will act, interpreting always for others. That was the break. Instead of God being the interpreter of your worth and your competence, a human person began to do that job for us. And we saw how that usually gets broken out into, first of all, by your gender category. You get interpreted, and then by your age, your ethnicity, your economic level, education. It just kind of goes down this little list of the preferred look, the preferred person for important work. And then there's the kitchen for the rest of us. And we know historically how cruel that has been for people of color, how cruel that has been, and how cruel it has been for women sometimes. And so we have Martha kind of caught up in that role. But what's interesting about Martha is that she is a woman of substance. She is a leader. She's an incredible person in her own right. She owns her own home. Jesus was welcomed into her home, not Lazarus's home. It was her home. And also in the tradition of how hospitality was worked out at this time, Jesus would have been in the center square when he would have arrived, and then some head of household male would have gone and invited him into the home, and there's a little exchange that happens. But Martha goes to the square or meets Jesus and gets first dibs. And so Martha has done a very male thing. She has not been inhibited by the expectations of her role, of what she could and couldn't do. She went, invited Jesus into her home. So she was a very special kind of a woman, a very special kind of woman. So when you come into a home, then according to Jewish hospitality rituals, you have to put on a feast. Well, here she's kind of caught in the middle of things, because instead of being able to be the host and sit with the teacher, she has to also be the one that's preparing the feast in the kitchen. And so she sees all these hungry people. Jesus is there with his disciples, and she feels a responsibility, right? She feels a responsibility to host Jesus well, to give him a good meal, to do the best she can for him in the kitchen. But it's hard to do that by yourself. And so she looks out, and then she sees her sister who, and what's interesting, it says, she had a sister, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. So she was also pretty extraordinary. These two sisters are not your run-of-the-mill sisters. Because sitting at a rabbi's feet was a male job, a male privilege. It was a male privilege. Women didn't sit at rabbi's feet. They didn't sit at rabbi's feet, especially in public. Of course, she was in her own home, so she had that option, but she took point to sit at Jesus' feet. And she was going to take this opportunity to hear whatever Jesus had to say. And she wasn't that concerned about what was going on in the kitchen. Now, this is where we get caught, right? We get concerned with what's going on in the kitchen. We have a lot of work to do. There is an unending task of feeding and taking care of people in your environments. You will never finish, okay? We never get done. Every day you make a new list, and the next day there's another list. It's not like you can ever say, okay, got there, and I can sit down and put my feet up. It doesn't happen. There's always work to do. And so we get caught between our desire to serve our Lord and our desire to be with our Lord. And especially as women, I think we find a special burden put on us because we get the expectation that we're going to do that kind of work. We're going to do that kind of work that we can be depended on for doing the work that needs to get done. Not always given the place at the table, the voice, and the privilege of being a part of the think tank, but we are expected to get the work done. So what Jesus, when she goes to Jesus and she says, Lord, I'm just, you know, help me out here. You can see I'm trying to get this done. Please tell Mary to come and help me. And we see what Jesus says to her. We see what Jesus says to us. We can be distracted by the world's expectations of what we should be about and how much time and effort we should put in it and how this is our place and our job to do. We can get so caught up in these expectations that they become our own. They become our own. They have been put on us. They have been put on us. So that we find ourselves spending all of our time from sunup to sundown, 24/7, trying to get the job done. And we forget that part of that getting the job done is the connection time we get to be in community with Jesus Christ. That we are invited. This is what this is. This is an opportunity for you to sit at the feet of Jesus. This is an opportunity for you to put the kitchen aside, to put all the work aside, and to listen. Notice that she was just listening. She was just taking it all in. And what the world will do is try to keep you away from the feet of Jesus. That will try to keep you away from the feet of Jesus. Especially as women. Many of you have families, responsibilities with maybe aging parents, children, things going on at the home. So you have these multiple worlds that you're trying to manage all the time. Bless your hearts. I know that. I know that reality. Except Jesus says, in your design, you have the right, the privilege to sit at the feet of Jesus and to take that time. And without that space and that time, we eventually will get used up in the kitchen for the world's work and not for Jesus's kingdom work. It's different. We need those two things. So today, what I want us to do is we're going to create space for you this morning to be at Jesus' feet. I know that you're all the busy Marthas. I am myself. I find myself very good at being busy. Getting the job done, serving people that need to be served. But for me, for you, today is a day where we get to sit at Jesus' feet. And I want to invite you into it in a special way. I'm going to set up for you a way to use your time this morning. And in order to do that, I want to talk about what is it like to live in Christ's complete freedom and give you a scripture verse to meditate on this morning. We know this is the promise from God that the Son will make you free. You will be free indeed. We know that Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, come to the living water, and out of your innermost being shall flow the living water. This is what Mary was doing. She was experiencing this well of living water by being in proximity and creating space for Jesus just to speak to her, just to listen. Not to have this busy prayer time where I have to say all this stuff, but just to actually be quietly at the feet of Jesus and listen. And Jesus had things to say and does have things to say to us. Jesus just wants to be with us, even if we're just sitting on the porch rocking in a chair. That is a highlight of Jesus' day with you. That is a highlight of Jesus' day with you. So what I want to call this is this process of being with Jesus, is the process of formation of what is happening in us. This is where we allow the Holy Spirit through Christ to conform us to the image of Christ for the sake of God and for the sake of others. This is the work. This is something that we have to create space to let that happen. And that happens when we give focus to the Holy Spirit. To speak to us. And it's a posture of submission. We started out, let it be to me according to your word. We talked about how the grave clothes get wrapped around us. We've seen how Martha is in the kitchen busy. And we're constantly being invited into this place of sitting quietly at the feet of Jesus. And that this gives God great pleasure. And this is also something we can't program or orchestrate. I don't know what will happen for you when you're there. That unique, loving relationship of Jesus with you, the Holy Spirit speaking and leading and just experiencing the presence of God, something hidden and mysterious can happen that can't happen when we're on the move. It can't happen when we're on the move because we often get ahead of the Spirit. So we have to stop and sit down and allow the Spirit time to speak through us and in us. It's also a very complex process. It's not, okay, if you start at this base and you go to this base and then this base and this base. That's kind of like a discipleship process, and that's good and important. But there's this, as experienced women leaders, there is a deeper, more fundamental, more profound, more beautiful work the Spirit wants to do in you. Because you're in a position of influence. Your incarnational presence is being experienced constantly. Remember, in a tenth of a second, people are making choices about who you are. So to cultivate that place of that peaceable spirit that restful place. We have to lean into the Spirit for our whole life long. Our whole life long. We don't arrive. You don't get to be an executive or a vice executive or whatever title and like, I'm done with the Spirit part. No, we have just begun. It's more. It's a bigger job to spend time at the feet of Jesus when you have more responsibility. Because otherwise, we're like Martha, imagining it on our own power. And we lose the creative wonder of what the Spirit might tell us and teach us and help us with when we're at the feet of Jesus. So it's this beautiful lifetime process of coming out of the tomb, of how the world would define and limit you, and letting the Holy Spirit speak truth to you and help you find your own freedom in space. And it's holistic. It deals with every part of you, and we are particularly looking at the body this time. Your body will speak to you before anything else. So we're going to be paying attention to what your body is saying to you, what your emotions are saying to you. Then you have your rational thought. It's speaking too, of course. But it's a holistic thing. And the essentials for that, then, you need space. You need space. What a rare thing for you, and what a rare thing for me. Space. You need to be able to reflect. You need to be able to be in community with others, to talk about what's going on in you, not just, I got this problem, I have that problem, shall I do this? But really talk about what's going on in your womb, what God is doing in there in you. And it often involves reflection on your suffering, on the hard thing, on the hard thing. So this is the scripture I'm going to give for you today. Romans 12, 1 through 2, and you have it in your packet. On page 7 and page 8, you know, I can't help it. I'm a professor, so I give you more information than you want or need, probably. Yes. Pardon? Yes, I can. You are so welcome. So if you turn to your page 7, okay. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, Paul has spent 11 chapters of Romans, the Himalayans of Paul's letters. He has spent 11 chapters trying to help people get grace, how to help people get the unity that we find in Christ, whether we're Jew or Gentile. So all the hostilities and brokenness between us. He tries in 11 chapters to try to get them to understand that. But he says right before that, right at the end of verse 11, he says, but who has known the mind of the Lord? Who can instruct God? Who can be God's counselor? Well, hello, Paul, you just did it for 11 chapters, trying to help us understand God. So Paul, in all of his Holy Spirit wisdom and training as a rabbi, his wealth of understanding of Scripture, he even had this humility of posture at the end of all of that to say, who can know the mind of God? In other words, who can be like God knowing good from evil? Paul understood that he was not enough. He was not God. He was a servant of God. And so then he switches. There's a little pivot, the therefore. So he switches from all of this. And so what is he going to say to us? What is he going to say to us? He says, I urge you. This urge is the same kind of language used when a commander is preparing his or her troops for battle. Before she sends them out, she looks in their faces And she gives them that last word, like a coach, before send them out for a crucial game, looks them in the face, eye contact, and says, pay attention. I urge you, sisters. I urge you, sisters. So we're all like ears, like, what's the coach going to say? What's the coach going to say? I urge you, brothers and sisters. And then he says this extraordinary thing, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. What? I was ready to go out there and do something. But what you're invited to do is to present your bodies a living sacrifice. This word present is the same language used for doing a sacrifice in the temple. It's a worship thing. And so immediately they understand there's the altar there. You get up on that altar and there is a sacrifice made. So Paul says, get up on that altar and give your body as a living sacrifice. And this is only said here. There's no other place where this living sacrifice is said, because it doesn't make sense. How can it be living and sacrifice? But Paul is saying, because it's already been done. The sacrifice has been made. You are to live, not die, but live under the gaze of God. Live under giving your whole body to God for God's purposes. And so this body includes every part of you, the mental, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional. If you're having a bad day, if you're angry, if you're joyful, if your body aches, if you don't like the way it looks, if your mind is all a muddle, whatever's going on, it's not, you don't, wait and prepare it. I'm ready. Jump up on the altar. You get up, your very self, exactly as you are, on that altar. This is hard because women are often sexualized in their bodies. So we have an extra level, an extra filters, that when we get up to present our bodies, it's a vulnerable and a difficult place to be. And we're going to talk more about that. Because our bodies are often seen first as a sexual commodity rather than a human person with dignity. Often seen as a sexual commodity. Look at what the world does with women and their bodies, how it dresses their bodies. I don't understand why in volleyball the guys get to wear big shorts and the girls wear hardly nothing. What is that? Why, what is that? That's sexism. That's sexism. So we have that around us all the time. So, dear sisters, when we get up on that altar, we have a lot of stuff that's been put on our bodies. You don't look good enough. You don't this, that enough, or that enough. Whatever. So the living sacrifice, Jesus already did this for us. And we simply trust. When we lay down on that altar, we trust ourselves to God. And then he says, and do not, so this work, this presenting your bodies, if this is holy, this is pleasing to God, and this is your reasonable service of worship. Three things. Holy, you want to know how to please God? Present your body. You want to know the most holy thing you can do for God? Present your body. You want to worship God? Present your body. And stay there. You don't get off that table. Just, okay, in a few seconds. You present yourself. And do not be conformed then to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove, so that you may understand what is the will of God, the good, the pleasing, and mature. And do not be conformed to this age. The thing is, the age will try to put you into a mold. This is the world's markers. When you walk into a room in that tenth of a second, this is what the world is trying to press on you, a perception of what you ought to be or aren't. It'll press on you. So it's constantly conforming you to this. And it says, do not be conformed. Well, the interesting thing is, is it's passive. So it happens to you. It's like telling you to do something you can't stop. It's telling you to do something you can't stop. So it's like, when it's conformed, it's like a doll that looks like a doll, but it's empty on the inside. This is what the world tries to do to us. But on the other hand, be transformed. And transformed means that something is new from the inside out. New from the inside out. It's, of course, we know the butterfly story, the caterpillar to the butterfly. New from the inside out. It's like the inside is like, it's like a computer. The insides are everything. If you just had the shell, it would be nothing. Very different from a doll. The inside is what makes the computer valuable. So to be transformed from the inside, and again, this is passive. This happens to you. It is not your work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Your work is to present your body. Your work is to present your body. Your work is to stay there, presenting your body, and allowing the Holy Spirit to then lead you down the path, the Holy Spirit's path. We even make our spiritual life work. We make it work. We have to read so much. We have to pray so much. We have to accomplish so much. And Paul, after all this, he tells his soldiers to get up on the altar and to present their bodies to God so that the Holy Spirit might begin this hidden, organic, holistic, lifelong work in you. Our obedience is to be present. That's our obedience. That's our obedience. And out of that comes the renewing of the mind. We try to renew our mind on the run, or we try to renew our mind by doing this or doing that or the other thing. The real renewal of your thinking comes through the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. By that transforming work of the Spirit, the mind is renewed. And then you can know the will of God. There, knowing good from evil, then you begin to know the will of God. And this will is good. This is pleasing. You want to know, this is pleasing to God. And this brings us into maturity. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we present ourselves, we have the mind of Christ. So I am inviting you to present yourselves this morning as a living sacrifice. I'm going to give you, Jackie and I are going to give you until 10:45, an hour, to go wherever you want. I'm inviting you to not talk. I'm asking you not to talk. I'm asking you not to get on your phones. I'm asking you to take this hour and to find a place where maybe probably back in your room, where you can just lay on your bed or lay on the floor and present your body to God. And just lay there. Just lay there. You will know when you've been there long enough. You will know. And I have some, we've prepared some questions for you then to have some reflection, some quiet reflection. We're not going to ask you to talk about this to us, but you will be get an opportunity to share with someone when you come back. Okay? So the prayer is, as you lay on your bed or on the floor or wherever, merciful God, I present my body. And just come back to that prayer, I present my body. God, my body.
I think everybody was here last night. Everyone knows who I am. Hi, I'm your sister in Christ. I love Jesus with all my heart. I accepted him into my life in 1979. I've been walking with him for, I think, October this year. It'll be 40 years, right? My math? Yeah, right? Right? You know, me and numbers, we don't do very well. But anyway, I trust that the Holy Spirit met you in a real special way. You know, I was walking around. I like to to move, do my power prayer walks, you know, across the street. And that's been some of my most intimate times with the Lord, even though I do have my Jesus centering chair in my living room. So I do that, and then, you know, I go outside and walk around. And so it's in scriptures and nature for me. So I'm sure several of you can imagine. But I, as we've been praying for this conference, I really trust that it's not so much how things are presented. Dr. Morris, I'm one of her biggest fans. And the Holy Spirit really speaks through her. And every time I'm around her, I learn something. But even for me, as I was walking around, you know, the Holy Spirit reminded me that I still need to be unbound, you know, in my own image of myself. Psalm 139:14 says, "We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are his works." That our soul knows it very well, and it's been a huge progression for me over the past 20 plus years that my soul has not known it very well. And so I can go back to that when I'm attacked by the evil one. And so he was reminding me, Jackie, don't be distracted by that. You know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully, you know, the physical anointing of myself through the Holy Spirit, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, and so I just had to praise him. So I trust that that was a great time for you. We're going to get into, if you would turn with me to page 9 in your packet. You're going to hear more from me tomorrow extensively. So, but this is one of my favorite exercises that I've learned in the past several years. Dr. Morris has set a great framework of talking about incarnational presence. And so we're going to be given an opportunity to be incarnationally present with one another through the art of listening, incarnational listening. And I just want to walk this through with you. I don't mean to insult. I know you're very intelligent women. But let's just read this together as I verbally read it. Incarnational listening is an extended conversation between two people where one first serves as the host and listens, and the other person speaks her story or experience. At the end, the host validates the speaker and offers empathy and prayer. Then the speaker becomes the host, and the host, the speaker, and the process is repeated. I learned this several years ago because I used to like to fill in silence. I'm an extrovert. I'm a Enneagram 8, I'm a type A, I'm a D, you know, I could just go on and on, you know, as the Holy Spirit is reforming me, right? And in the process, I'm not a typical those things, but I like to talk. My undergrad degree was in communications, you know, and on and on. But this art of listening, this incarnational listening, is something that I have really been blessed from, and I'm going to share that in a minute. Well, let's walk through this. The listener, the first listener, I am here to listen to your experience. I will hold your story in sacred confidentiality and trust. And so as the person is sharing with you, whatever they choose to share with you, you are listening, and it is a sacred trust that you will experience to extend towards that person. And the speaker shares her story or experience. She's given time to gather herself. She's not rushed. She has spaces to be quiet and not talk. So we're gonna give you a significant amount of time as you pair up to do this. And then the listener mirrors the storyteller with attentiveness, but with few, if any, words. And so there's the art of silence as we listen. If the person cries, let her cry. Sometimes tears are the story, amen? Touching can also be disruptive because the person might feel vulnerable. The listener asks, is there more? So that's, for me, a word of warning. So as my speaker is sharing, I tend to reach out and want to touch. You know, but we want to refrain from that. We don't want to create any disruptions. And then the speaker, when she has finished with her sharing, she lets the listener know, and the listener responds at that point. Listener validates and extends empathy. We know how to do that, right? The listener does not share her own personal experience or some other person's possible things to say or just suggestions. I'm sorry that you have this happened to you. If that happened to me, I would feel dot, dot, dot. That must be challenging, or that is amazing. Conversation ends without trying to fix someone. We tend to, you know, Enneagram 8, D, you know, we problem solver. My temperament and personality tends to do that often, but not to do that in this exercise. One respects and honors the journey the other is on. Much healing comes from being heard and validated. The listener serves as Christ at the table to each other, so the speaker can experience Christ's grace and hospitality. And one of the ways that the Lord has really spoken to me is my community of doctor sisters. We went through the same cohort together in the doctoral program, and we decided to join together to hold each other and to support each other during our dissertation paper writing. You know, 50% of people don't finish their PhD, their doctorates, or whatever because of that paper. And so we held each other accountable, but oftentimes we were just listening to each other, and we would take turns. I would share, and my sisters would listen, and then they would pause and hear from the Holy Spirit, whatever. My Heavenly Daddy wants to say through them to me. And I was talked off the ledge. I was encouraged to keep going. You can do this, Jackie. Our Heavenly Daddy wants you to know that He is with you during this. Very traumatizing. I'm not a good paper writer. It was very traumatizing for me. You know, but yet I got through it. Because I was reminded I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we still connect every Tuesday from 10 to 11. One sister is in Singapore, another sister is in Bethlehem, and it's just in a powerful time. So I want to ask that you would get into pairs, pair up with someone right now. So look around. See who you're willing to pair with. Pair up. Just to note. Confirm who's going to be your partner. Yeah? Okay. Got a partner? You got a sister partner? SISTAH. Sister partner. You have a sister partner? Okay. All right, so what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask that you two as a pair, you can go anywhere you want to. You don't need to stay in the room. You can go outside. You can find a spot in the lobby. And I want to give you a good, come back at 11:20, okay? Come back at 11:20, and I want you to bless each other, be incarnationally present with each other by listening to each other. And you can, of course, you can take this sheet. You probably need to just refer to it. But please, don't touch. Don't interrupt. Just listen. Support and affirm. And then the one speaking, each of you will get an opportunity to speak. Try to be as listen in, yes, from before, to share about your experience from your time alone together. You can choose to do that, okay? Yeah, it's not this, no, share from the Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay, 11:20, any questions? Okay, enjoy yourselves. Yeah, enjoy yourself.